Let's run over to the Gospel of John, chapter number 11, a very familiar passage, but I do pray the Lord help us to glean some things that will help us, especially as we're about to enter into Jubilee 2021, amen. Let's go to John chapter 11, we'll read one verse number 28, and once you got there, let's all stand if you're able to, and then we'll read, we'll pray, and we'll ask our God for his help on tonight. That's the Gospel of John, chapter number 11, and verse number 28. Good to see so many in the house of the Lord tonight. The Bible says this, and when she had so said, she went her way, the Bible says, and called Mary, her sister, secretly saying, the Master is come and calleth for thee. The Bible says, as soon, not later, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, the Bible says, and came unto him. I want to talk about this simple thought. Jesus can bring revival. Jesus can bring revival. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that we've just celebrated the resurrection of our Savior, Jesus, your Son. And we thank you, Lord, that he resurrected from the grave. He's alive and well. Don't even have a cold. And for that, God, we're so thankful. But we also pray, God, that tonight you take the Word of God, let it become alive to us. And God, help it to revive us, to restore us, to bring us that jubilee that we desire to have. I pray, God, you restore that joy. Where joy may walk away from somebody's life. Many of us, God, these last months have been in a turmoil. We've been, not knowing what's going to happen in certain things or certain cases. So I do pray and ask God to bring us that renewal that only the Holy Spirit can bring us, especially through the Word of God. And with that, Father, we'll thank you. Let no one person, from the youngest to the old, let not one person leave a discouraged or distraught, but let all of us leave tonight with that dynamic power of the Holy Spirit, not only just resting in us, but Lord, stirring on the inside of us. And with that, Father, we'll shout hallelujah. And once again, Father, I do want to agree with Brother Brent to pray for all the requests that were mentioned earlier tonight. Each one, Father, meet the need. And God, show us what to do. Lord, if there's something you have to do in the midst of that situation. And for that, God, we'll thank you. That's it for now. I'll bless those who are here, those who are watching, and Father, anyone else that might be touched in some way by the worship of the service tonight. And for that, God, we'll thank you. That's it. We love you. But let this be out. Yes, sir. Take care of that great need as well. For to your Son's name we pray. Not only Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. May we see that Jesus can bring revival. And of course, revival means to be revived. It means to be alive again. In other words, it means you already were alive, but now you are alive again. And we have a God that's able to do that. And as I was reading these scriptures, I was saying, you know, it's amazing how there's a good parallel here for how we can learn from this true life example story that happened here with Lazarus, how the same Jesus that brought Lazarus back to life physically, watch this now, is able to bring us back to life spiritually.
Yeah.
We may have grown cold, perhaps even grown numb. But we have a God in heaven that knows how to stir us up again on the inside. I don't know about you, but I like the fact that I've got a God that knows how to stir us up on the inside. Mm-hmm. Here the last few weeks, I've been watching the services down at the Victory Baptist Church there in North Augusta, where Brother C.T. Townsend is the pastor there. And I've been watching the services, and I tell you what, man, it just reminded me of, it's almost like an old person, like it used to be in the old days. Amen. I mean, folks are shouting, and I never forget, Brother Billy, I see that little lady come running across the front. I'm like, I remember her. I've never heard from Doc Brown at the tent meeting. That lady, she's a little short lady. But then she gets to shouting, and she'd take off running over the whole place. And there she was, shooting across the front of there. Well, you know what? That's the Bible, man. I mean, that's somebody that got stirred up on the inside, but not concerned about those around them, but more concerned about the one who's working on the inside of them and manifesting itself on the outside. Listen, we have a God that knows how to bring us revival. And perhaps as we enter into Jubilee, I do pray that you and I will come hungry.
I mean, just desiring to get as much as you can from every worship service, every sermon, every song that's sung. I mean, every syllable that's uttered, there might be something in that that will help you in a tremendous life-changing way. So you have to get back up and go forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the point that I want to look at tonight, number one, is the calling. Is the calling. Now, if you back up to verse number 22, the Bible says this. But I know that even now, this is Martha talking. Let's back at verse 21. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Now, that's confidence. But I know that even now, watch it, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. I got that. Jesus said to her, hold on, baby. I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 27. Watch now. She said to him, yea, Lord. I believe. Come on, Martha. They be dogging you out. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. She says, I believe. Watch this. And when she had so said, now we'll see the calling, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, saying, the Master is come. And watch this. He calleth for thee. Martha said to her sister Mary, Mary, Jesus is here and he's looking for you. He's calling you. I thought to myself, there's times in a worship service when we might be here worshiping the Lord or listening to songs that are being sung or the word of God that's being preached and the Lord begins to call us. He begins to speak to us through that song or speak to us through that sermon or speak to us through that testimony. But he's speaking to us. He's calling us. He's drawing us to himself.
Mm-hmm.
But the question is this. When he calls, will we answer?
Come on.
Will we say, here am I? Like Isaiah said, here am I, Lord, send me. Will we answer the call that God might be calling us? I'm thinking right now about Josh and how Josh answered that call when he surrendered. He wasn't preaching yet, was he? When we went to Arise, when he was shouting and all that kind of stuff, was he?
I think that's where he.
Yeah, when he surrendered that, yeah. But that night, I don't forget that night when we was out there, and I mentioned this last Sunday. I'm sorry for repeating this, but it must need to be heard again. But nonetheless, though, I'm thinking about when Josh was out there. And he was shouting and stuff, and I never forget Jesse. I was looking for him. I mean, the rain was pouring down outside. Young people all out there. Some of them laid out on the ground. I never forget Miss Becky, the talented CG's wife. She was wanting to go home with the kids, and she came inside and said, I can't leave. And why you can't leave? She said, there's a teenager laying out back behind my car. I can't back up. You know, she couldn't even leave. Amen. But I never forget that. Jesse come in there and said, I can't find my brother. You see my brother? I said, I think he's outside. And she went outside. When she came back in there, she said, I don't know, something wrong with him. I said, what you talking about? She said, he's outside. He got no shoes on. And I told him, I said, where are your shoes at? He said, I don't need no shoes. I'm on holy ground. Amen. I mean, he was shouting praise to God. I mean, folks were just having a great time, an awesome time. But during that meeting that God called him, he surrendered. And now, brothers and sisters, here he is at Crown College going around and that boy began his tuition paid left and right. It's like something to be happening. It's like, hey, here's $3,000, here's $3,000, here's $3,000. I mean, but you know what? All he's trying to do is call God.
Yeah.
That's all. And brothers and sisters, whatever God's called you to do, just call him. Because wherever he is, it's going to be good. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be great. Now, at first, it's going to be a little bit nervous, nerve-wracking. What if I do this? Then what? So we want to know all the steps. What's going to happen down the road? Then we go, oh. And for example, there's certain things we saw, how it's going to work out, many blessings, and how this is going to happen. Oh, no problem. No problem whatsoever. I surrender all. Yeah, because you know down the road, somebody's going to take that ad, somebody's going to take that ad. But you surrender first, and then God begins to work. I know, forget down in Georgia, When I surrendered to come back to the Chicago area, I mean, I was fighting that thing and through prayer and all kinds of stuff. And then Dr. Moore asked me to come up and pray, and I get there to pray. And all I could start off with was amazing grace, how sweet the sound to save a wretch like me. Next thing I know, I'm up there and I'm praying, crying to God. I'm like, you want me to go to Chicago? I'm going to Chicago. And all I'm just laid all out right there. And man, I don't forget, I went back to my seat. And Dr. Moore got there and said, now, son, you can't go back. I'm sitting there. Go in, amen. You don't even know what happened. She comes inside the church, and she said God worked a little bit early, so she can get to the meeting. She gets into church, and she walks through the door, and everybody's crying and stuff, and they hugging all on her, and she's trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm sitting there in the seat, you know, I'm like, we're going to Chicago. I was like, oh my God. That's what she found out. But God already did with her about it already. But here's the thing about it. One thing I was fighting with was this. Who's going to help me? Going up there as a missionary, who's going to help me? I knew all the different ramifications, all the situations, the roadblocks that were before me. I'm like, who's going to help me? I don't forget it. Terry Ed Miller stood up. He says, we'll help him. Don Jackson said, we'll help him. Everybody said, I'm like, well, man, if I know all this, I'm going to surrender. You know, man, yeah, but see, God wants you to surrender first, amen. God wants you to say yes. And for us, we know how we are. It's like buying anything. You can buy something, you want to know all the details, and then you sign it. God said, no, baby, here's a blank piece of paper. You put your name on there. You're like, oh.
Come on now.
You want me to trust you? Yeah, you trust me for your soul, ain't you? Well, yeah, but that's different. Listen. When God calls, will you and I respond? So we see that Martha comes to Mary, and she says, Mary, she said, Mary, the master is come, he's here, and he calleth for thee. Now watch, the second thing we see is that the coming. The Bible says in verse number 29, and as soon as she heard that, the Bible says, she arose quickly and came unto him. Number one, as soon as she heard, her sister was calling her and saying, the master is looking for you. And the Bible says she was listening. She heard exactly what Martha said. Why are you saying like that, preacher? Listen, we enter into Jubilee. Let's come listening. Let's come hearing.
Yeah.
Anticipating. What's God going to say to me? What is he going to do in the service? When God comes by, he nudges you. Don't just sit there on your seat. If he nudges you, don't forward. Hit the altar.
Yes,
cry to God. What are you doing all that for? What'd that do? That ain't helping nothing, amen.
Right.
If he is calling, number one, hear. Come listening. Come hear it. I mean, for myself, I've often been telling you different things before. But nonetheless, I can do this. I can be in a crowd of people. And I can just zone everybody out. And all I got, I can tune into wherever I'm listening to. And it's not like I'm literally ignoring everybody. I really don't hear them. I don't hear anybody. All I hear is what my ears are tuned into. And all of a sudden, somebody said, "Burn, burn." I'm like, "Huh? You got me?" You know, I mean, I didn't know anybody talking to me because I was tuned in here. Okay, we come in Jubilee. We come for worship. You got to be listening, baby. You got to be. Your ear has to be tuned in. Why? Because all the different distractions the enemy's going to use
right.
to get you to something else. You know, whether somebody that you see in front of you, whether what you hear somebody over here saying. I mean, you're trying to listen to the preacher or listen to the song, and somebody over there talking about pizza or something like that, you know. And you're like, come on, dog. Man, we here for worship. You know about that? We only got an hour and a half or so, 2 hours maybe, amen. Just 2 hours, we know it's going to be good, amen. But let's come hearing, listening. But not only does she hear, watch what the Bible says. She heard what she said, and then the second thing she did was she did something. This is amazing, y'all. The Bible says that she arose quickly. She heard. He's looking for you. And she got up quickly. I mean, she didn't mess around. She didn't waste any time. I mean, she got up as quick as she could get up. But sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll hear him calling us, and we'll hear his voice speaking to our inner soul, our inner man. He says, come on, come on. And then we're like, oh, no. No, do like Mary. Man, get up with me. Rise, jump up. Where at? Looking for him, amen. And the Bible says next, that when she arose quickly, she just stand there. The Bible says, and came unto him.
That's good.
I'm thinking right now about
Brother Manny Cook, and you was there that night. We was out there in that's not the port. I think it's the port, that church that he used to pastor out there. And we was in the service. Man, God got to going up in that place. And they was a little bit, especially back then, they was a lot reserved. Okay? And man, they got to going. I don't know if you were singing or somebody was preaching. I don't know what was going on. I can't remember right now. But all of a sudden, Randy Cook was, he was sitting there. And then he jumped up. And then he went to the altar and prayed. Well, after service, he told us what happened. He said, but before I knew it, I stood up like, woo! You know, I stood up like, I'm going to do it now. I'm going to do it now. So he went to the altar praying, amen. You know, I mean, he didn't cause commotion now, amen. Well, listen, if God hits you, man, and you jump up, and then all of a sudden, what in the world would happen here, amen? Just hit the altar, amen. You'd be good to go, amen. But the Bible shows us that she heard, she arose quickly, and she responded. She came unto him. So when God does speak to us of these next days, maybe before Jubilee even hits here, but when he speaks to us, let's make sure we listen, we get up, and we come to him and see what he's got to say. So we see, number one, the calling. We see, number two, the coming. And then number three, we see the confidence. Her confidence. Look at verse, drop down verse 32. The Bible says this in verse 32. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, the Bible says she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. That's confidence. She believed all her heart and soul that even though her brother was sick, if Jesus had been there, he would not have died. Let me ask us the question. Do we have that type of confidence in the Lord? Do we believe like she believed in the Lord? She had every confidence that there was that if Christ would have been there, her brother would not have died. Listen, we need to have more confidence in God's ability to help us in our time of need.
Yes, sir.
But not only that, we move quickly. We see, fourthly, we see Jesus' compassion. Oh, man. We have a Savior that's so compassionate. Look, the Bible says in verse 33. The Bible says this. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping. He saw her. He saw them. The Bible says, which came with her, those who were farther along with her. The Bible says he groaned in the spirit. And the Bible says, well, and was troubled. He was troubled, the Bible says. He was troubled himself because of their weeping. Verse 34. And he said, where have you laid? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. This is compassion. I want to know where he's at. And then the famous words, or two words we know, most every person knows, the shortest verse in the Bible, these two famous words, Jesus wept. I've said this many times at funerals. Where did he weep? He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. And a lot of times when somebody has a loved one that passed away, they say, well, I can't show no tears. I can't cry. I got to be strong. Listen, this is the strongest man that ever walked the face of the earth. And the Bible says, Jesus wept!
Yes.
Listen, brothers and sisters, when a loved one has passed away, it's okay to weep. God has given that to us as a release valve to help us to deal with what we're facing at that moment. But I'm going to tell you what, if we don't let that out, if we don't let that be relieved, it can bottle up on the inside, and all of a sudden it might explode, but it's not going to be a good explosion. It might be filled with anger. It might be filled with all kinds of things happening because we won't let it out what's happening on the inside. And the Bible says Jesus wept. And the Bible said, verse 36, they said this. Then said the Jews, behold, how lovely. That's love, man. Listen, if I die before Joel Man, Joel ain't going to cry, I'm going to be upset. I'm telling you right now. I'm going to be up there and go, what's up? I mean, we went to the 80s, the 90s, the 10s, or the zeros, rather, and the 10s, and the 20s, and the 30s, and the 40s. It's been a long time. And the 60s again, amen. Well, you can't shed a tear for me. Well, I know you're up in heaven. No! Cry! Amen. But don't cry for me. Listen, cry for me, okay? But y'all can rejoice. I want y'all to rejoice afterward, but at least y'all miss me. You know, he gone. No! Amen. I'm crying over some tears. Lord, amen. The Bible says that he wept, and they showed those folks. And they responded to me, he loved me. He loved Lazarus. And the Bible goes on to say, he's still under compassion. Verse 37.
And some of them said, could not this man have opened the eyes of the blind, have caused the evil of this man and should not have died? They questioned this. They questioned this. But watch this. We see something happens, brothers and sisters, with that compassion. We move from the compassion to the commander's instructions. The commander's instructions. Look what the Bible says in verse number 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. And Jesus said, hey, take you away the stone. He is the commander-in-chief. He's in charge. He's the big dog. And the Bible says, he said, take you away the stone. Y'all know Martha. Martha, you know, she's a worker. She understands how this stuff works. She said, well, oh, Jesus. The sister of him that was dead said to him, the Lord, we get an issue. By this time, he's thinking. Why? For he had been dead 4 days. You don't really want to do this. Okay. That smell will be not a sweet savor. Okay? He's been dead for 4 days. But remember, he is the commander in chief. And as the commander, he gives instructions. And brothers and sisters, no doubt during Jubilee, we have a commander named Jesus Christ. He'll be giving all of us certain instructions on how to respond when he speaks to us. The question is this, how will we respond? Will we follow the commander's instructions that he gives to us so you and I can have that which God wants to bestow upon our lives? He knows exactly what we need. That's why he's the commander in chief. Watch what the Bible says in verse 40. Jesus said to her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, that thou shouldest see the glory of God? Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus looked up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And by the way, sorry if I understand, he says, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. Verse 43. And when he thus had spoken, he cried, not with a small voice, not with a minute voice, but the Bible says with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. That's a command. Watch what the Bible says. And he that was dead came forth. The Bible says he was bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. Free him. Break off that which is binding him so he can move about.
Right.
What you talking about, preacher? What's binding us up? What's got us bound? What is hindering us from being the people of God that God would have us to be? Maybe some secret sin or some situation that we're facing or some individual. But what is it that has us bound up and that's hindering us from being able to worship like God would have us to worship? What is it that has our feet shackled? What is it that has our hands shackled and that's hindering us from being free like God would have us to be? Some folks ain't free. They are enslaved. And that's why we can't worship. Reading our Bibles and it's like it's just nothing happened there. Maybe there's a reason, y'all. There's a reason. If you read your Bible and nothing's happened, there is a reason why something's not happening. Because you also remember the times when you have read the Word of God and it was like it was alive. I mean, the Word just stripping off the pages. You're like, man, this is good. You got questions about that, questions about this, and now you look at it, it's like, man, it's just alright. It don't excite me no more.
Come on.
There's no thrill any longer. As a matter of fact, in our day we're in today, there's some folks, they don't look forward to worshiping God any longer. Whether it be in person, or whether it be online, they're not excited about it. Something's happened. They've grown numb. They've grown cold.
Right.
They've grown indifferent. But we've got a God in heaven that has a command for us, and we follow his instructions, we'll be free to exalt Jesus like we hunger and desire to do.
Yeah.
But we follow his instructions.
Come on now.
We'll stay back. Now, some of us say, hey, listen to him. He's a mummy. He's afraid of me. I want him free. What's the Bible says? It's commander in chief. The Bible said in verses 44, Jesus said to them, loose him and let him go. And because of that, no doubt they loosed him and he was free. How do you know that? Because we go to chapter number 12, he's sitting down eating. Matter of fact, look at that. Look at chapter number 12, verse 1. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him supper. Watch this, y'all. And Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've been pretty upset. Because he was doing great. Now, who wants my Lazarus back? Lazarus like, I'm good. Now he's back. I got to stay with y'all again. I got to go through this whole process. Y'all do know Lazarus died again, right?
Yep.
Because he ain't here now. Okay. So he had to go through the whole process again. You know. I mean, but here he is, though. He's sitting there, and he's eating with them. The same one who had been dead is now alive. And yeah. Brothers and sisters, when the Holy Ghost of God comes by and touches our heart and our soul and revives us, renews us, gives us truly in our soul, we'll find ourselves with everybody else now. Not alone.
Amen.
When he was in that tomb, he's alone. His body's alone in there. But you know what? Sometimes that's how we are too. When we need revival.
Yep.
We're isolated. And sometimes we're isolated on purpose.
Yeah.
And then we feel like nobody cares.
Right.
Nobody loves me. Nobody wants me. Nobody's concerned about me. But yet we've separated ourselves from everybody.
Yeah.
And then sometimes we cause people to separate from us because of our, not us, I'm Christians, because of our attitudes.
Yeah.
I mean, because we all, nobody going around, where's that grumpy person at? Nobody's doing that. Everybody going, the grumpy person?
Yep.
But I want to get away from the grumpy person today, man. I want to go to the person that's happiness, that's exciting, that's a fake happiness. I'm talking about that real. We ain't talking about fake until you make it stuff. That ain't in here. Oh, but they've been preaching that a long time. They can preach all they want to, but it ain't in this Bible.
That's right.
To fake means to be phony.
Right.
I'm just going to fake it till I make it. You probably will never make it.
Yep.
Listen, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to cry to God. To God, I'm jacked up. I want that real. Listen, remember Coke had that commercial about the real thing. And listen. Y'all can have your Pepsi.
Thank you.
I like this some Coca-Cola.
Amen.
I want it cold. And I want that. When I drink it, I want it to burn. I want to feel it going. You know what? I'm cleaning all this up. I mean, I want to. I love that. I'm like, oh, no. No, give me the real thing.
Amen.
I want that fake stuff. And they came out at one time, remember they had changed it? They changed it, man. We were boycotting, but guess what? Same thing with you, Lee, revival. I want the real thing.
Yeah.
I don't want to just, hallelujah. And so I'm like, man, how long are we going to go? What time are we getting out? Y'all know I'm all around here. We came to get in. We didn't come to get out. Amen. And we might have some folks going, what's going on here? No, we came to get in. We didn't come to get out. Amen. We're not looking at our watch going, oh man, where are we going to go? Because I'm telling you what, when we get to singing and when they get to preaching, I'm sitting there. I got my plate. I got my knife. I got my fork. I'm trying to get as much as I can get. I mean, y'all know how it's been. There's been times, man, the Holy Ghost coming through here. And I tell you what, and then the singing and folks at the office and getting right with God, all kinds of stuff happening. And then Brent will look back at me and like, what do I do next? And I'm like, I don't know. And then somebody, I'm like, you better preach. He better preach what he better do. Amen. I mean, every time, one time we ended the service, and he didn't preach, and man, there was some folks. They're like, why he didn't preach? I'm like, well, it was... It was 10 o'clock. I figured y'all ready to go home. They want to insult me, man. Yeah. I'll never forget that one time. He said, "Which one, Pastor? Give us something."
Amen.
Well, that's like we got to the conference. And it got on down there. And man, folks was getting right and getting saved and getting called to preach. And our brother Kenny Baldwin hadn't even preached yet. And folks was wondering, is he going to preach? And then the CG was like, he was looking at me and said, "Man, I don't want to mess that up." He said, "Well, go ahead and testify." Woo! That boy testified for 15 minutes. I'm talking about that boy preached. I mean, I'm talking about, we was unglued. Man, I shouted so much. Man, I mean, he was just testifying. What are you saying, preacher? When God gets to tapping on your soul,
yes, sir.
Whew, you ain't trying to get nowhere. You ain't doing it. See, the church I grew up, that thing there makes you invisible. It's like nobody can see you. Some of y'all ain't never had that blessed experience. But I mean, in the church, you know how my family knows. It's like anything, if you put that finger up, that right there excuses you for everything. I mean, you get up, you come right across the front. But then they did have some of them ushers, though. And they'd be like, you know, man, put your finger up, Billy. Put that finger down. I mean, we had, they was the police. I'm not mad. But you know what? I don't know about y'all, but I want that in my soul.
Yes, sir.
And God has some instructions for it. Here's the last thing I want to give you. We see the call and the coming, her confidence, the Jesus' compassion, the commander's instructions. But now watch this. There's a choice reaction to all that takes place here. And generally, we will have a choice reaction. Remember that. You choose how you react. What will your choice be? Here in this verse, look at verse 46, verse 45. The Bible says this. Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did, the Bible says, believed on him. Their choice reaction was many believed.
Mm-hmm.
What will be our choice reaction? Because if we ain't careful, we'll see somebody else praise the Lord and maybe take off and run a little bit or something like that.
She don't take all that. She didn't know she got the devil and the demons all up in.
Whoa! You don't know what happened? Huh? Here's the other reaction. Many choice reaction was believed, but some were mocked. The Bible says in verse 46, but some of them went their way to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees and the council and said, "What do we? For this man does many miracles. If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." They were bothered by this. And verse 53, "Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death." They saw what happened, and it bothered them.
Mm-hmm.
Many saw what happened, and they believed. Let me ask us the question. What will be our choice reaction of what takes place this coming week? Will we believe or be bothered? I believe I can say with some amount of confidence that all us that are here, we're going to probably believe. But there might still be some people that are going to be bothered.
Mm-hmm.
We were down there in not trying to embarrass them, but we were down there in Bristol. And man, I told y'all Sunday, man, I heard somebody shouting, praising God, going, "Whoa, whoa." I'm like, man, somebody's having time. And then also I said, that sounds a little bit like James. Because, you know, James, he got on front of Jesus. And I looked back then and I said, "Hey, James, who was that sounding?" And man, it was Danielle. Man, Danielle was standing up, hands up in the air. Man, she's shouting, praying. I mean, I'm not talking about, "Hallelujah." Man. I mean, she was out there. She was letting it rip, man. Oh, man, I was, man, it was all of them.
Amen.
that the next night, not be outdone, there was DJ. Man, he started to shout me. But you know what everybody else started doing? They weren't bothered. They started shouting too.
Amen.
I think about that pastor, Brother Todd Cruiserberry. He was standing up there, standing in there. Glory! Glory! We can say, sometimes, folks, it gets so big on the inside, you just can't contain it.
Yeah.
You can't hold it. You know? Now, two things can happen. You can let her out, or go on with it. You know? Because you're trying to keep that thing in, you're like, and you go home like, man, why my head over here? You wouldn't let it out.
Yep.
You're trying to hang on to it, man. And you never know. Just you doing that. Not because you're trying to impress, not because you're trying to pretend, but just you allowing the Holy Ghost to use you. That might be somebody else that's doing the same thing. They hang out, and somebody else that's going, let them know, whoa! I mean, in there they go. You know? And then somebody run down the aisle. Was that you, the preacher last week? We said that guy came crawling down the aisle. Somebody, I talked to somebody the other day, and they said, man, they got depression, and they were talking about the man crawling down, crawling to God, running to God, and this man came, he just came crawling to God, coming down my on his knees, coming to God. Whew. All about y'all. But them kind of needs I like.
Yeah.
Those ones I like. When people just go, you know what, I'm not worried about who's around me, who's looking at me, all I want to know is this, I want to worship.
Yeah.
I want to feel God in my soul. I want to feel inside of me. So I said, wait, all about the feelings. Well, why God give them to you? That make no sense. No, we're not saved by feelings. We understand that. But Jesus wept. Jesus cried. Those are all emotions, because somebody knows this. You know, the Bible says he groaned. These are all emotions. He gave them to us. By the way, on purpose. Why are we trying to hold back stuff? I don't know about y'all. I'm bad. Matter of fact, I'm going to the gym in the morning just to get some exercise in. So I ain't gonna be wore out by the time I come. If I take a lap, y'all wanna get behind me and take a lap, we go to the lap together. Amen. Hallelujah. Me and Joel, amen. I go places, they love you, Joel. And they say, hey man, you still got that guy to play the drum and got the oxygen? Yeah, he's up there.
Yep.
They love it, man. They love it, man. That boy playing the drum, he got oxygen, he come to worship, amen. But then there's some people say, man, I had an oxygen, I can't be whoa. That's Joel, amen. Joel, he'll come up and he'll start getting low. He'll plug that joker up. And he, what's that noise? He's like, that's all, he's getting that going. Hey, man. You know what? We have no excuse.
Yeah,
right. Come on. To worship. Yeah. I mean, Joel, he playing the drum, by the way. He ain't just like, you know, he will. when Billy came here, he let you rip. I can't play like they play. So he can have when Billy and the mother Paul Gillies and what's the boy's name? Jesse Craig would come in. He loved that. He's like, man, I can let it go now. You know, I hold him back. I ain't got the three chords. Oh my! What are you saying, preacher? Since simple saying is Jesus can bring revival. If he can revive a man that was dead physically.
Yeah.
He can revive us spiritually. I got two questions. First question is this.
Yes,
how will we respond in Jubilee 2021? How will we respond in Jubilee 2021? Second question is this. Will we come when he calls? Is he going to call? Will we come when he calls? So, well, that's for the older people. Nah, he's going to call some teenagers. He'll call some preteens. He's going to call some of their 20s. He's going to be calling. I didn't say calling the priest. He's going to be calling you to respond.
Yep.
Are you going to respond? Now, last is a simple statement. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you, man, for blessings. Thank you, Lord, for the attentiveness of all those who came to worship, Lord, tonight. I do pray and ask God in heaven that you give us strength for the journey. But right now, Father, I do pray this. If you're speaking to somebody's heart by coming tonight, I pray that they come. Oh, Father, let's fill these altars once again. Let's cry out to you once again. Let's seek your face, Father. Let's humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God so that you may exalt us in due season. Perhaps, God, there's some folks that need to bring some things before your throne tonight. Maybe certain situations they're dealing with, or they need to make some decisions.
or they just need some strength, Father, they need some power, whatever the case might be, I pray God we come tonight. Let's start tonight getting ready, prepared for Jubilee 2021. Father, help somebody. And I pray God just start with me. That's it, Lord. For your son, that we pray. Not a weak Jesus, but mighty Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Folks, we're ready. Page 385, we're ready.